This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday. Football's back today.
Well,
we get more football back.
I mean, it's back, but
what?
Not all football is good football.
Stop this. That's especially the dumbest thing that you've ever
especially
said.
Especially when it's the Patriots playing.
Nobody said anything about the Patriots. South Alabama at App State, anybody?
Ooh, that could get weird.
Huh?
That
yeah.
could get weird.
Yeah, don't give me that. Don't give me that, but yeah, the Jets and the Patriots do play.
God,
that's
why?
A is bad it, Thursday
is,
night
is,
game.
Is that a like, get it out of the way early situation?
Yeah. Is yeah.
Make the save the good games for later in the season?
Yeah, because what they used to do is put these bad teams on Thursdays like late in the year, and everybody's like, nobody wants to watch this.
Yeah, this is bad.
Now you still have the Jets like with hope. So,
well, because they do still try to schedule, everybody has to play like at least one Thursday night game,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
I think over 2 years, you have to be on a Thursday.
Oh, it's over 2 years. I thought it was every season.
I don't think it's every season because we have some teams will double up on those Thursday night games, right? I don't know if everybody has to.
I think some choose to do the international route, like the
international.
The Jags.
Yeah, they do that.
England's team.
Boy, Thursday night football is back, though. Prime Video, Patriots, Jets. And then you watch some real football. Sunbelt, South Alabama, App State. Let's go.
We get some good Friday night football, though, don't we? I thought we had some unhinged.
Yeah, you got Illinois. You got top 25 matchup. Yeah. Illinois at Nebraska. You got the Cougs coming off their big Apple Cup win, hosting San Jose State on the CW tomorrow. And then I think Syracuse, Stanford.
ACC showdown.
Yeah. I think it's the first ACC game for the Cardinal of Stanford. Do you see they debuted red helmets today?
No.
Yeah. They're like a satin red.
Oh.
Yeah. It looks pretty good.
Okay.
Looks pretty good. I mean, I don't know why you would ruin their all white look is really good. Really clean.
Yeah.
I like it.
Speaking of leaks, the Trailblazers in season tournament court leaked. You see that?
No.
It's better.
Okay.
Last
year's was bad.
Well, that was the league making decisions for everyone.
Yeah.
But there's like, what do you call it? Sublimated roses.
Oh.
In the court.
Oh, now we're talking.
It's a pretty decent.
Yeah.
It's because they still have like the trophy in the middle.
We're going to find. Oh, yeah. It's black.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
looks
good.
Pretty cool, huh? Yeah.
No, that looks really good.
Yeah. And then if you look at the bottom, it's got a little, I think it's City of Roses on the baseboard.
Yep. On the sideline there, right at half court.
There's some nice little subtle touches.
Actually, that looks way better.
I tell you, there was so much red on the floor last time. I remember.
It was an eyesore.
Well, none of that. I was talking to players. I'm like, does this like feel like it's like reflecting in your face? And they're like, yeah, this is a lot.
It was distracting because I took my son to the Laker game. It was the in-season tournament Laker game last year. LeBron in town. And we just were kept looking at the floor just being like, it's so bright.
Yeah, it's
speaking of that, when are you going to get to the point where, you know, we have every court in the NBA like the All-Star game stuff with the LED court?
That's what I'm talking
about.
Well,
no, I mean, we are heading down that path. Like, that's...
Well, let's get there then.
That's not a thing that's going to go away.
Quit screwing around. Let's just do it.
I mean, you're going to
do it.
I think you're waiting for the investment of new franchises.
Do it.
Because
that's
going to cost money. But the amount of money you can make on that from in-game advertising is through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just switch out.
Change it every possession.
Yeah. Just like you do on TV.
Yeah.
But you can do it in the arena too. All right. Cool. That's awesome. Staying in basketball, it's not a joke. You see those new Kyrie shoes that were?
Yeah,
Nick DePaula had this yesterday.
Yeah, they look like they asked somebody who had taken multiple hits of LSD to come up with their own shoes.
I thought it was a joke,
but
at first,
like an April Fool's kind of thing. Yeah,
shoe that has about 12 laces on it, like 12 different colored laces, like sets of shoelaces on it.
Oh, good Lord. That I just pulled it up. I had not seen. It looks like something my 12-year-old would do to her shoes.
It is awful.
And even then,
awful.
Your 12-year-old would come up with something better.
Yes.
No, it looks like a Muppet got put in a blender and was made into shoes.
Ugh.
It's really bad.
Yeah, that's really bad.
But it's Kyrie, so, you know, all of the Kyrie sycophants were like, oh, those are fire, those are great. No, they're not.
No, they're not. You don't
they're
have
bad.
To lie.
They're it's a bad shoe.
Bad product.
Anta. He's now an anti guy.
I'm an anti guy.
I am an anti those Kyrie Irving shoes. Multi-lace. Stupid. They look so bad. I don't know. I feel like old man yelling at the clouds now and saying that, you know, people are like, oh, you just don't understand the fashion. It's like, oh, I don't want to understand that fashion.
Look, old man yelling at the clouds. The earth is round.
I have reached the...
What about monarchs?
Things are not made for me now.
Yeah.
Like, I am not the target audience
anymore.
Oh,
you're finally reaching that point there.
Yeah, like, I okay get it. And but it doesn't mean, like...
That's why the other day I said I finally have something in common with Joe Montana and Snoop Dogg.
Ooh.
With my
joint
Skechers.
There you go.
No, my Skechers slip-ins.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
They had to rebrand after getting
full-on dad mode.
Yeah. I'm okay with admitting that, like, fashion has passed me by, right?
Well,
like,
it
I
hasn't
don't...
passed us by because they're wearing our stuff now.
Well, yeah.
That's fashion.
But it's like, y'all should know, the cargo pants, you're going to look back on them and be like, that was not a good look.
I disagree.
You know, it's... Cargo pants?
I love cargo pants.
Of course you do.
I wore them.
They're still awful.
A lot.
I know.
I love pockets.
Of course you do.
So many pockets.
Nobody's been laid in cargo shorts since Nom. Super bad.
Mm.
2009.
Which is...
Circles back around. Still relevant.
Still... My Abercrombie cargo shorts, I hold near and dear to my heart.
Not factually correct.
Oh. What?
Nothing.
All right.
But on the fashion point and like the whole idea of like things aging beyond us, like
yep.
My wife and I were at Nordstrom's this weekend and walking through the shoe section, I'm just sitting here and everything is this weird oblong chunky shoe and I'm just like, what is it? And then you look at the women's shoe. I don't know if you've been in the department stores recently, but like they're
myself on not.
They're all like boots are coming back. Like the knee high boots are coming back with the heel.
Mm.
And there was like multiple iterations of this boot that was like two or past the knee that had like 4 inches of heel. And I'm like, what purpose does this serve?
Well,
like,
we are super close. We're entering Han Solo season.
Yeah, we are. Well, no, we're there.
Yeah,
there's been a little bit of a chill in the air.
Yeah, sure. Once the PSLs come out, it's Han Solo season.
Yep.
You get that black vest and the white top with your beige pants and your dark boots.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm okay with admitting that I don't, like, whatever, y'all go wear your cargo pants, go do your thing, whatever, your high heel boots. But I also can say...
What you got against graphic tees?
Nothing. They're coming
back.
No, they're coming back hard. Like, there's a whole section of, like,
good
Nirvana
answer.
And Green Day, and I'm like, oh, God.
I got my daughter a Nirvana shirt.
Yeah, my daughter's wearing AC/DC Def Leppard t-shirts to fifth grade.
Guns N' Roses.
Anytime she wears one of them, I say, name a song. And she gives me a couple of songs for each band.
Nice.
So
that's proper, because I saw a high school teacher, there was a kid wearing...
You gotta do it.
A girl wearing an Aaliyah t-shirt, and... It is him basically filming a TikTok roasting her, like naming Aaliyah songs, but not like, working them perfectly into the, and it just like, try again. Maybe you want to try again.
Yeah. So I make sure.
Oh, so good.
My daughter knows at least some of these songs from the bands that she wears.
So you're pulling the old, you like football, huh? Name it quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appropriately so that she doesn't get roasted by her teacher.
Yeah. What's your problem with that?
Oh.
No. I do. I'm like, all right, AC/DC, name a couple songs. And just so she has, she's
like
ready
big
for
balls.
It. No. I'm not telling my fifth grade daughter.
That's an AC/DC song.
She goes with Thunderstruck and Back in Black.
Okay.
And I say,
all right,
fair. That's good. So we go down
to
that
Van Halen and goes Hot for Teacher.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Well, we know Dusty's hot for teacher. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, if his teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's okay. That's okay.
That's
okay.
It's hard for me to get really excited about hot for HR.
Yeah. Well, there.
I'm not sure where to go with this.
There was a
without committing an HR violation of my own.
There was a parent that drew my wife a picture one time.
A parent.
Drew
your wife a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And she's like, I'm not sure what to make of this. And I just said, still got it. You still got it. That's what you make of it.
Okay. Put it up on the fridge.
What was this picture?
I'm trying to remember. It was a really good drawing.
Mm.
Like, it was a good drawing. But I'm not sure why.
Not bad for a serial killer?
I mean, no.
Was it a drawing of LP?
No, it wasn't. It was, I want to say...
Or of like her license plate or your bedroom window.
I want to get this right. I believe an alicorn was involved.
Alicorn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a unicorn with wings, right? Because a Pegasus is a horse with wings. A unicorn just has the horn. I believe this was an alicorn.
You just blew my mind.
I have never ever heard that term before.
Nor have I.
I think I always just assumed that a unicorn also had wings.
Yeah.
Well, you've been assuming wrong.
They could be winged or wingless.
Well, you know what you know what they say when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah, an alicorn has got a horn and wings.
Oh, okay.
I believe an alicorn was involved. I want to say
that kind of. I think that bothers me more now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real quick, shout out to my dentist office in Newburgh. It's probably listening right now because they're all a bunch of P1s. I got a new dentist, and they said they all listen to 1080.
Okay.
They got good taste.
Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome, dentist office.
Yeah. Guess what? Right. Guess how far away they are?
2 blocks.
4 blocks.
Oh, no way. Just thought we might change it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. That's good. I can't even get my dad and my brother to listen to us, but whatever.
Mm. They probably play smooth jazz.
Yeah.
Or yacht rock.
There you
go. They probably play yacht rock in their office.
Mm.
I think it's some country music now.
Oh,
maybe,
all right.
Maybe a little KWJJ.
Mm.
Ooh.
At least it's in-house.
That'd be 99.5 The Wolf.
Yes.
Is that you on the ad?
That is me. Oh, I am the Wolf Howl. Yeah, as far as anybody knows out there, anytime Dusty, they cut a new spot, I just go, arr!
Dusty and the Tool Man trade off there.
Yeah. Howling on a Tuesday! All right. Anyways, long story short.
Too late.
I don't know fashion, but I know ugly, and Kyrie's new shoes are ugly.
Oh, hideous.
They're very bad.
Look, I wear Crocs, so, you know, whatever, but it's still hideous.
It looks like Dr. Teeth from the Muppets had a seizure or
That's
something.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Or threw up.
Yeah.
Or threw up.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. This comment. Oh, Maddie. Is on the YouTube chat. What's up, YouTube party animals? We see you. We got people throwing 90s parties that were born in 1997 and 98. Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, that's
tough.
I finished college.
I believe.
Or got kicked out of college.
The first time.
Yes. Oh, that is finishing.
I was supposed to finish college.
Technically finished up there.
They were finished with you.
Yeah. Someone was finished.
But it was finished.
Hey.
There is... one player in college football born in the 90s. Actually, there's two. There's the Arkansas receiver, who's like 28, who played Major League Baseball. Mm.
Cam McCormick.
And then there, I don't believe Cam, I think Cam McCormick is a 2000.
Is it Cam Rising?
Cam Rising, too.
Yeah. Cam has to have been born.
And then you got that receiver for Alabama, I think, that is still 17 and will be through like 98. Half the season.
He was 98. He's in year 9.
Yeah. So we got 3 players in college football that were born in the 90s still.
That's crazy.
That will change after this year.
Wow.
Cam Rising, May 13th, 1999.
They did one
Cam
of those
McCormick,
like
McCormick, April 2nd, 1998.
Social media things for NFL team. I can't remember what team it was. Like what year? How old do you have to be, or what year were you needed to be born in to be old? And one was like, well, if you were born in the your year starts with 19. I was like, Oh, God.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, God. The first time I ever heard a kid, the small kid, refer to something that happened in the 1900s.
Yep.
Was, oh,
that's my, oh. My niece. My niece dropped that. My niece is
that's
now.
That's a straight kick to the nards. Oof.
My niece is now 21, and her younger sister is 18.
Mm.
When they were like four. So my niece was born in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
She was like 4 years, 5 years old, and she was telling her little sister, like, hey, mom and dad were born in the 1900s.
Yeah.
And it's like, yikes, that one hurts.
Oof.
Turn of the century. We are going to be people turn of the century eventually. Think about that. That's old timey there.
I mean, yes. I mean, my parents were born in the 1900s. Like, smack dab in the middle of them.
Well, I mean, if any of us live into the 2060s, 2070s, the idea of like what that actually is
boy,
terrifying.
Think of this, though. The Monte Harrison, the 29-year-old freshman wide receiver at Arkansas. We could be playing. I mean, he could hold on to the 1900s being in college football for three more years after this.
Yeah, wasn't there a...
Well, what happens when they play Alabama against a 17-year-old kid?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Oh, man.
I mean, is that going to be like...
That's an age gap.
Is that going to be like assault on a... I guess they're both on offense, but...
Nah, you know
assault
what?
Assault on a juvenile?
Nah.
It's I don't like, know. It's called, it might be senior abuse, to be honest.
It's called playing BYU every year.
That's true.
Like,
but they're old and white and they can't move.
Like, how many...
They have to have the oldest average roster in the league every year.
Well, yeah, but BYU, they've got to have somebody born in the 80s on the team at this point. Like, if you were we're taking COVID years into account, you know, they could still be backing this thing up for decades.
They might have a 35-year-old on there.
Yeah.
We're going to have our first grandfather playing with his grandson.
I remember it was a couple
and it's going to be college.
Like 2017, there was the 38-year-old college basketball player. Do you remember that? It was like a D3 school.
No. I mean, like, I've seen it before, though. Like, we talk about... So the NCAA has a clock, right? Mm-hmm. Once you go through the NCAA's clearinghouse, your clock starts. And you...
Is that like the doomsday clock?
Yeah, well, you have like 6 years to use your eligibility after that. And so what we used to get down at Southern is we'd have people that come along and be like, yeah, so I played for Northern Arizona, you know, 8 years ago. My clock expired. So you go NAIA. Mm. It's like the Wild Wild West. Like, I mean, I've told the story before. Southern played against the guy in the national championship game who was wearing an ankle monitor.
Yeah.
Like, you get some weird stuff going on.
Straight out
there.
Of the replacements.
Yeah.
Just picture it, Dusty. You could go back like in Back to the Future 3 style.
Yeah.
And just go back and, you know, play some more ball.
So I kid you not. We had a guy who came and he'd played at like a junior college and then left school, and then he'd been playing semi-professional football in Tacoma, and he came to one of our 7-on-7 sessions in the summer, and our coach was like, all right, this guy really wants to come out and like throw, so you guys let us know what you think. And on his fifth drop back, he was intercepted for the fourth time. And I remember it was my brother who picked it off, and like defense is always returning it for touchdowns. And my brother felt so bad, he just like very gently like handed him the ball back. And at that point, that guy just took his ball and drove all the way back from Ashland to Tacoma that night. And it was like, we were talking about it afterwards. We're like, that's got to be like the saddest drive ever. And he was like 37 years old. Like, I still got it. And he came down like, I can do this. And it was an adventure, man.
It's like, did you see the kindest block ever in the NFL this weekend? I think it was from Packers-Titans. Where, like, basically, I think it was a Green Bay lineman that could have just laid the most vicious, like, destroying block ever on this guy. And he just kind of put his hands out and gently knocked him down.
Sorry.
Yeah, still blocked him. Like, he could have knocked his head off, and he was like, eh, we don't need to do that. I'm just going to push you down.
Oh, man.
And also this coming in on the Vancouver Ford text line. Getting carded to buy booze makes you feel good until the cashier barely looks at it and says, there's the 19. And that makes you feel old again.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I went and grabbed some booze for the old float. We went to the liquor store. Didn't even remotely come close to asking me for anything. Yeah. And I just kind of looked at my wife. I was like, well, I guess that dream's dead.
That's why I continue to go to the Center of Quality Foods to buy beer and stuff, because it is a company mandate that they have to ask you for your ID.
Hey, all right.
No matter what age you are. So,
all right.
Look at you going somewhere to make yourself feel a little good.
Right, exactly.
It was...
the gray in my beard doesn't betray me there.
It's seared in my brain going to a restaurant and somebody asked, like the waitress was like, can I see your ID? And my mom was like, oh, yes, pulls out her ID. And she goes, yeah, we have to card everybody. It's like, you don't have to say
Let her have the moment.
Let her have that moment.
Why, yes, my mom was
thrilled to pull that card out and be like, yes, why, as a matter of fact, I do.
And then she came over the top with a DDT and said, bah!
You don't need to do that.
On the other side of that coin, there was a time.
You just hurt your tip.
When I worked at Old Chicago, where something had happened and they were making us like crack down, right? And making sure people had their IDs. And so this was like a Sunday NFL day, right? It's like noon, and there's a table that sits down in the bar, and I'm all by myself in there, and the lady was clearly, she was probably late 30s, early 40s, but I asked her for ID, and she didn't have it. So I was like, I'm sorry. I can't let you in here. I can't serve you.
Dang. Because
once I asked her for it, she didn't have it. I was like, I can't. I'm sorry, they're cracking down on us.
That's tough.
Why are you going out without your ID anyway?
Ah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Getting carded in Skechers slip-ons must be a feeling, that coming from Pew and Rubio.
Yeah.
Getting carded in shoes meant for children.
Hey, they are not meant for children. I saw the ads with Joe Montana and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Yep. America's grandpa, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get this show on the road.
Oh boy,
because
we went late.
Yeah,
there,
we did. Yeah, we sure did.
Oops.
We really, really, really did. Danny Dusty on the Fan. All right, Thursday Night Football gets underway tonight with the Jets and the Patriots. But all eyes are kind of around the injuries across the NFL throughout the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, there are so many guys dinged up and not playing.
All of them on the 49ers roster.
Yeah, well, a lot of them. A lot of them are. But T. Higgins was back at practice today for the Cincinnati Bengals. Talk about a team in desperate need of a victory. 0-2 out of the gate, the 0-2 making the playoffs, the Bengals have bucked that trend.
Yeah.
And they've done this twice now.
They're a slow starting team.
Since Joe Burrow has been there. But this year, it is a lot injury related. And you think of how they've lost those two games. I mean, the offense just never gets going against New England. They find a way to lose against the Chiefs for a variety of reasons. And, oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes doing Patrick Mahomes thing at the end of the game. But there's been this missing link, and their receiving core has just looked janky and disjointed when it's Jamar Chase, and then Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, and because there's also no Joe Mixon there to switch things up. Zach Moss has not been remotely capable of doing anything on the back end for them. So,
no way.
Yeah. Turns out replacing Joe Mixon, difficult thing to do.
With Zach Moss, that's what Buffalo tried to do.
it's very much the, did it work for them? No, but it could work for us.
But a lingering hamstring injury to go along with his contract dispute. T. Higgins back at practice today. And so, as they've got till Monday night to get that, to get right and get healthy again, because we got a Monday night doubleheader this week.
Ooh.
Have we discussed that at all?
No.
I don't think we have.
I think
Monday night double dip.
Is it a simultaneous? Hold on. Is it a simultaneous one?
Yeah, 4:30 on ESPN, Jags Bills, and then 5:15 ABC Commanders.
I thought we were going like the real early, like actual doubleheader.
See, yeah, where you have like 5:30 and then 7:30.
Yeah. This is where I want to pick nits.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
If you have games starting 45 minutes or so apart from each other, that's not a doubleheader.
Okay.
That's just a pair of games.
That's divided attention.
Yeah. A doubleheader is one game starts and then ends and the next game starts.
Duo of games on Monday night.
I'm good with that.
Dueling.
Thank you.
Dueling.
This isn't aimed just at you. This is a media-wide problem.
It feels very targeted.
No, this isn't at you.
I feel attacked.
This is a media-wide problem. I've heard it a lot. And like, don't call it a doubleheader. It's not a doubleheader.
Okay, a Monday night double dip. There's a fly.
There we go. Double dip works.
All right. Monday night double dip. Jags Bengals or Bills Commanders Bengals. Yikes. Why don't we cut out the road teams and just have Bills Bengals play?
Ooh.
That game sounds a lot better than Jags, Bills, and Commanders, Bengals. But T. Higgins back at practice today, as was Jordan Love, surprisingly. MCL sprain.
He's been out for 4 weeks.
They were talking at length about how this could be multiple weeks. Well, there was conversation. He was trying to push it for last week.
Hmm.
Well, he sat out. Malik Willis got the win. I think that Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur maybe had a powwow and looked at what they were able to do offensively and said, I don't think we can run the ball 50 times again and get away with
the
victory.
Yeah, the window dressing of what they were able to do against the Colts was great for a week, but now that they've shown everything.
I'll tell you what, though, that's one hell of a way to get a win in the NFL, where incredible. It's really hard to win. They schemed their way out of an 0-2 start, and they got that win over Indy. Now they have to go on the road to a Tennessee team, which has looked at times
competent,
good, not very good, but just good,
competent,
better than competent.
Okay,
because at the end, and when Will Levis decides he's just going to flip the ball backwards, I mean, they've been in control of games, and that is like, all right, but they're 0-2 and finding ways to lose games thanks to Will Levis. If he just undumbs himself, they may be 2-0, not 0-2. They had a 17-0 lead in week one, and then they had a 17-10 lead last week against the Jets, and then Will Levis just puked all over himself.
We'll make our picks a little bit later. Have you looked at some of the lines in these games for the over-unders? Are you seeing how low these totals have gone?
Yeah, dude, I've hit 2 weeks. We'll have our picks at 2:00. I had two weeks in a row.
I know, under
totals.
They have plummeted. Like the lowest lines have dropped nearly 10 points from last week to this week. And it's not just matchups. The NFL scoring is down.
Yeah, never mind. They tied it at 17 heading into the fourth quarter.
Oh, okay.
Against the Jets, and then lost.
There you go.
Lost. Yeah, but scoring is down.
I mean, drastically. These lines, like, last year, the cutoff was basically, like, if you saw a line, 43.5 was, like, the cutoff. Anything below that, take the under.
Well, there's a reason for it.
Or take the over, I mean.
Defenses are playing really well right now. And at top of the hour, we will have probably the worst take of the NFL season so far.
Wow.
But there is one other injury that we need to get to. Mm. It's a big one. He's trying to push it back next on The Fan. All right, all eyes on the injury front are on Justin Herbert right now, the quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers. He has what many believe is a right high ankle sprain. Not good. Not good. Not good.
You never hear about the low ankle sprain.
No, because I think we just call that an ankle sprain, right? Is that all we're going with there?
Or is it middle that we normally sprain?
Sure. Yeah. All right. High ankle sprain for Justin Herbert. He was back at practice today, and all signs do point to him playing football this year or this week against the Carolina Panthers. Now, do they need him? I think that might be TBD because it is the Carolina Panthers. But Herbert was seen at practice today. Very heavily taped ankle. I mean, he was not moving well, and it looks like he damn near has like a cast taped around that right ankle.
Well, I mean,
ankle.
Kirk Cousins is playing with one leg, so I mean, Justin Herbert can play with a taped one.
Yeah, so is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
they're doing all right. But Herbert was back at practice, and you know this stat? Do you know the only quarterback in the NFL to be making $50 million this year that is 2-0?
Justin Herbert?
It's Justin Herbert. Mm. Justin Herbert.
Who's thrown for 220 yards in two games?
And I think I also saw that the remaining $50 million quarterbacks on this season are a combined 5 and 11.
Yeah. Mm. Dak Prescott's making $81 million. Jared Goff's making $80 million. Jordan Love, $79 million. Joe Burrow, $65 million. Kirk Cousins, $62 million. Those are your quarterbacks that are over the $50 million mark.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's more than tough.
Which, interesting here. Which of those quarterbacks has performed worse than Herbert?
Well, he's 2-0. Kirk Cousins.
Has he performed worse?
Yeah. Who does Justin Herbert like? Okay, are you just looking at yards?
No, I'm looking at what he's done.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we judge guys by, right?
Yeah, 2-0. Okay.
So now wins are quarterback stats again.
No, I mean, he's doing what his team needs to do to win football games with a receiving core that includes Ladd McConkey and who else?
Oh, no, I get it. I mean, I get it. But, like, hasn't the entirety of this team been basically about, look at this team go bang, bang, bang and run ball?
I love guys who like football.
Yeah.
I mean, the Harbaugh identity is just
so what,
oozing through it.
What would you like them? Like, hold on. What would you like them to do throwing the football?
What do you mean?
What is Justin Herbert not doing right now?
I don't think
besides throwing for yards.
I don't think there's anything he's not doing. I think he's doing the traditional, like, I'm saying, like, as far as like those guys that are making all of the money, like, how many of those guys are being like, what's being asked of them as opposed to what's being asked of Justin Herbert right now.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, basically, his job right now is don't turn over a ball, find 2-3 explosive plays a game.
Yep. There is a...
which I think that's Harbaugh in a nutshell.
We went through their interior offensive line, too.
Yeah, it's completely horrid.
Did you see the throw that Herbert made?
Oh, the falling sidearm?
Sidearm, falling, because the entire pocket just collapsed before he even finished his drop.
Is that what inspired Will Levis?
Probably.
Goodness gracious.
No. That throw was incredible. Again, I'm not saying this to like denigrate Herbert. That's not what I'm saying.
What do you want him to do?
No. I'm talking about like when you talk about the amount of money spent on these quarterbacks. It's interesting. Herbert is making that money. He's being asked to do the least out of all of them.
Huh. Yeah. As far as what?
Are you asking him to drop back and throw 35 times a game? Are you asking him to push the ball down the field a million times? Are you asking him to take a lot of chances?
No,
are you
you're asking him to make sure your offense is right pre-snap.
And you're asking him to stay on time.
Yeah, and on schedule. Yeah. And that's what they're doing. They're not scoring a whole bunch of points.
No,
while reminding him that they don't have their leading rusher from last year or Keenan Allen or Mike Williams.
You know, here's the thing about that. I was talking to somebody.
J.K. Dobbins has been awesome.
Who covers the NFL
the other night.
He has been,
which is a shocker.
He goes, you know what's crazy is we talked about how many weapons, quote unquote, that the Chargers had with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler. They have combined for like 200 total yards between the three of them in the first 2 weeks.
Well, and like Dusty said, like, J.K. Dobbins, he was basically a reclamation project.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, his knees are being held together with dental floss and duct tape.
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
it is what it is. But like
J.K. MacGyver.
We start looking at like what the weapons that they had. And it's like, turns out Keenan Allen might be cooked.
Yeah.
Like you're watching him in Chicago. It's rough. Mike Williams, he's barely touched the ball, and Austin Eckler decided to make his pads four sizes bigger. Have you seen the pads he's wearing?
He's going old school, man.
Those things are up to his ear holes.
The game's changing.
What the hell?
I wouldn't throw the ball to Quentin Johnson either. So, J.K. Dobbins, by the way, has, what is it, 8 yards less than Justin Herbert on the season? Justin Herbert's thrown for 274. J.K. Dobbins is rushed for 266.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, There's very look, yeah. and this isn't this isn't like stray shots at Herbert. This is Jim Harbaugh. He's looking at Justin Herbert, going, "You're my JJ McCarthy."
Yeah, but and that is to where I go. He's completing 67% mm-hmm. of his passes, so when he does, he is efficient with it.
How many attempts does he have on the season?
They're 2-0, 46. He's 31 of 46.
So 23 attempts a game.
Yeah,
that's. I think for when you're talking about a $50 million quarterback plus, you're probably asking for more than that, right?
Okay.
I'm not taking away.
What do you again?
Justin Herbert isn't calling the plays.
Who do you want him to throw the ball to, Danny?
I know that, but we're talking about the price of the quarterbacks. If you're investing that much money into a quarterback, typically, don't you expect them to have more on their plate?
Okay, yes, you don't know what he has on his plate though, because he's a quarterback in the NFL, which is he has a lot on his plate, and they are 2-0. And they don't have a receiving core that is good. Where would you rank that receiving core in the entire NFL? Okay. So you have a team that has built a roster that is not conducive to throwing the football. And so they're not throwing the football. And the Harbaugh imprint, as you're saying, is 100% there. And I don't know. I'm not quite sure what else you want from Justin Herbert. Do you want them to throw the ball more then?
No, here's the...
Because that's not conducive to winning football games for them right now.
The only quarterbacks who are making that much money...
Yeah.
Who have thrown for less attempts are Josh Allen and Derek Love. Or I guess Jordan Love now, but he missed the game. But it's Josh Allen and Derek Carr. And Carr hasn't done it because they've been beating the brakes out of people, and Josh Allen is running the ball 10 times a game.
Those three quarterbacks are all winning football games,
yeah,
too.
Like, again, that's what I'm saying. As far as what you're asking of a quarterback, typically who makes that much money, is so much more is on their arm, regardless of weapons.
And I see, guys that like football, they like me back.
I think that this is one of the issues that we have, though, like on the outside looking in is, okay, because a guy gets paid that much money, you want him to throw 30 times a game. Would you rather him throw 30 times a game just because he's getting paid that much money, a la Deshaun Watson, or run the football more and play a style that's more conducive to winning when you know the fault of your roster is at the wide receiver position and the strength of your roster is with two tackles that are dominant? And as bad as the interior offensive line has been in pass protection,
they have been
absolutely god-awful in pass protection, the two guards and center, they are really good at run blocking. Mm-hmm. So I think on the outside, we're like, this guy's making all this money. Well, why would you throw the ball then?
No, I'm not arguing against it. I find it interesting, and this kind of goes back to what I mentioned a couple days ago. If what the trends that we're seeing are real mm-hmm. in football right now, and that defenses are actually viable, like you can build around a defense,
yeah,
but you can Ravens this again. Does Jim Harbaugh want to have a $50 million quarterback?
Yeah, well, yes, he does, because
he knew what he signed up for.
When their receiver room looks different, they will throw the ball more. I mean, they will.
That's what I'm interested in, is how different does Harbaugh look? That it is it Michigan Harbaugh? Because even if you go back to 49ers Harbaugh, they weren't ripping that thing all over the field.
No, but they didn't. They did throw the ball more than they do now.
Sure,
but yeah, you do want. Like, you want a Justin Herbert at quarterback, and you pay that freight for Justin Herbert at quarterback. I mean, that's...
I mean, he clearly loves him. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's kind of disgusting in a way.
Yeah. I mean, it is... This Herbert early season, it's really... It is interesting that they're not throwing the ball much, but they're just grinding teams to death. And when he is throwing 100%. The ball... He's been really efficient and really damn good.
And making the plays when he needs to make plays. Again, I'm not taking away from Herbert at all. There's somebody on the text line says my disdain for Oregon. I've said a million times I think Herbert's a great quarterback. have nothing against Herbert because he went to Oregon. I've got it wrong when he was drafted.
Yeah.
I've said that a million times. I'm entirely looking at what the expectation is for a quarterback that gets paid that much money. I just find it interesting through 2 weeks how things have kind of scaled and how different, regardless of the receiver room, just how different that looks. When you pay a guy $50 million plus dollars and he throws for 130 yards, that makes me scratch my head a little bit. Even if you come out with a win, that it looks like a bit of a strange investment. And it's the same way when I mentioned in the three up, three down, the idea of wide receiver contracts. I'm wondering if we're getting to a world where if the bell curve is sliding back and defense is more valuable again, how different some of this stuff starts to look.
I think it is even more pronounced, though, when you do have a quarterback, and that's why the quarterback value will never go down.
Oh, yeah,
the receiver contract value will go down, but the value of the quarterback to
get
you
gonna be pristine
in and out of plays and to make sure that your run game does operate at such a high efficiency mark, because you have to when you run the ball with that much volume. Mm-hmm. A lot of that lies with the quarterback. It lies with your quarterback and your center on your offensive line, making sure everything is in the right place. And that
look
is
no further than Oregon.
Well, I think that is the value where Justin Herbert is going to continue to get paid. And I think when you look at Herbert over the years, though, I mean, it's not like he hasn't earned that money from...
Oh, like, no, 100%.
I think if you were to ask a Chargers fan, would you rather be 2-0 with Justin Herbert not throwing the ball that much, or losing games and having Justin Herbert throw for 5,000 yards,
which they had for his first 4 years,
and 38 touchdowns? Right. They would say, yeah, we'll take the winning and running the football, because it's not like people don't think Justin Herbert can throw the football.
No, God, no.
I think that's the confusing part about...
I think it's an interesting conversation when you start going down that path. I think everyone goes, oh, no, give me the wins. But when you start looking at it and you start breaking it down, this is where you start to have those kind of divergent points of, okay, what is X actually worth? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think as the game goes back to more defense and the scoring starts coming down, I think number one, it's good for the game. Number two, I think it allows for more outcomes like this, where your quarterback, even if he is well paid, you're paying him not because you want him to have a million yards. You're paying him because in the moments that you need him to be big, he is. And it becomes less about throwing for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns and more about the maximization of outputs. And I think that looks a little bit different.
Sure, yeah. 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. This is Danny Dusty on the Fan. Wow, we're already up against it. Some of your thoughts, Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. This text says, Harbaugh's system has always had talented tight ends. They really could have used Bowers. Yeah, they are using Joe Alt like a monster.
They're entirely fine with the best right tackle.
And
he's been the best tackle, right tackle in football.
Not for rookies,
year.
Like through 2 weeks.
It's him and Penei Sewell.
So, old Jim's plenty happy.
But I do believe their next move is going to be tight end. And they're going to get a, I don't know, who's Iowa's tight end? They're going to go get him.
Yeah.
And they're going to be... is going to be their identity.
Michigan's tight end.
Just look at the way that they have. Yeah, absolutely.
Lovely. It's a dude.
They are going to build this roster with, all right, we've got our offense, our two anchors on the edges. We're going to go get a tight end. Ladd McConkey is going to be our shifty receiver that we use underneath. They're going to take a flyer on a guy in the middle rounds that is a speedster on the outside that can stretch you vertically, or they're going to go try to find that guy in free agency. Don't know where they're going to get the money for that, but they're going to try to. And then at that point, you have a competent offense, right? They're not there right now offensively. And that texture is right. Like, if you did have that tight end, boy, this probably looks a lot different. It probably does. B-Rod with a great question. Danny, would you be asking yourself this about Herbert or saying this if he was on the Raiders?
And I responded to it directly with, no, because it's the Raiders, and they're not allowed to actually have quarterbacks. We went to the break, and I go, Dusty, because they
can't have nice things.
Yeah, Mina Kimes wrote that the Raiders should trade for Matt Stafford. I'm sitting here screaming, no. Not because I don't want to have a good quarterback, because the Raiders have never, ever, ever had like an in-prime young quarterback. It's always been reclamation project, last-minute saviors, the final 3 years of somebody's career. Think about it. Whether it's Ken Stabler, whether it's Jim Plunkett, whether it's Rich Gannon. Like, you just go down the list. Derek Carr is the only one, and he holds basically every Raiders passing record.
Yeah.
So
pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
It would not be true. That's why.
Oh, man. Well, Herbert will be back in Pittsburgh tonight, or on Sunday. Not tonight. That's Jets-Patriots tonight. Be allergic to that game. I'm just promising you. You don't want to see the greatness of the New England Patriots tonight. I beg you, just don't watch that game. It's not going to be a good game.
Oh, you're going to watch it, you sicko.
Of course I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to be sitting
people,
in the car at my kid's soccer practice watching it.
I'll tell you what, if the people, the wide net that we're casting here, you don't want to watch the Jets and the Patriots tonight. It's not a great, these are not great football teams. It's not going to be a great game. South Alabama takes on App State, huh? Tune into that. Tune into that. All right, let's get to hour number two. The 1 o'clock hour, we start with quite possibly the worst take of the NFL season next on The Fan.